The Good Liars.
The Good Liars.
This is boring.
We're boring.
I will die standing in my boots.
Herschel, I got you some condoms.
What made everyone so weird and sad that they had to come out here?
Don't smoke,
Mr. President, welcome to the show.
We are the Good Liars, and we are going to tell the truth.
Trust us.
Welcome to the Good Liars Tell the Truth. I am Jason Selvig.
And I'm DeVrom Stiefler, and we are the Good Liars.
And we may be the Good Liars, but on this show, we are going to tell you the truth. And the truth is, we are joined here in the studio by Todd Stiefel and Paul Soder from Evil Pack. Evil Pack.
Can you put it like an echoey effect on that in post? Can you make it sound eviler?
A lot of times I do the effects during the podcast. Evil.
Saves time and money. Yeah. Who you guys just opened up a Judges for Sale store in New York City called Coke and Crow. And in the interest of full disclosure, we should say we were there. We were helping out there. And we've worked with you all, not only on this one, but we worked before the election. We did some work with you all with Americans for Prosperity down in North Carolina. There was a video with Michelle Morrow, who is running for superintendent. We'll get into that later. But we've known you guys for quite a while now. I feel like we have a relationship,
partnership, friendship.
Oh, yeah, I worry about friendship ships. First, but partnership, it's business first.
I was going to. Chronologically,
okay.
Partners, I feel like, you know, as of last night, I was like,
these guys are all right.
We were hugging last night, you know.
We were hugs.
Dude, we're past partners. We fled the Confederacy together at one point.
Fled the Confederacy. I thought you said led the Confederacy.
No, that was going to tell the truth. Here's Pack. I get it now. So part of
at the State Fair when we had to rode away from.
He had bring
held up because the Confederates were pissed.
Right. Jason was talking about working together before the election, and we were at the State Fair, and the three of us were at a booth with the three saddest Confederates, I think, that have ever existed. And they, at some point, you were interviewing them, and we were standing nearby. I got grabbed, and a guy was like, we have a lot riding on this, so don't fuck this up for us. We could never quite figure out what he meant by that.
So, first question, that I'm sure a lot of listeners are wondering now. Evil Pack, and this is like Pack, P-A-C, political pack. What is Evil Pack? Paul.
All right. Evil Pack is, it's kind of two things. It is a website, a comedic website about political corruption, money, and politics. That's the name of the site, but it's also the entity, the fictional entity behind the site, which is a cabal of elite billionaires who want to celebrate how much they have rat fucked the American system.
Okay. So, Todd, these characters that you all have created, they're all part of the Tentacles of Penetration.
Yes.
Which is first off, what are the tentacles of penetration? It's a very funny thing to say out loud. And then also, are these based on real things that are happening now in the current political landscape and in the judiciary, which we'll get to in a second?
The Eight Tentacles of Penetration are a satire of Seven Mountains Dominionism, which is like the seven domains that they want to control in American society. And
is that a real thing?
A nationalist thing that they're trying to do.
The Eight Tentacles of Penetration, which still makes me laugh when I say it, that's based on the Christian nationalism. What was the inspiration for creating an evil pack? And what are the goals for the future? We'll talk about the shop in a second, but what are the goals for the future and why create a pack that is explicitly evil, comes out and says it?
So the genesis of that is really, I've been in the activism world for like 15 years or so, and it's great, but it's often kind of dark, to be honest, and you're often fighting uphill and stereotypes and problems and the like, and that's part of the reason I burned out and started moving into like the entertainment world for a long time. And that was great, but it was really, I started really feeling the itch to do the advocacy work again. And this seemed like a fun way to combine advocacy with entertainment in one package by creating essentially a comedy nonprofit that could help educate people on things like corruption and the problems.
So it is problems with their system. You don't want to destroy the country. You're not there.
Well,
evil
yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, just come to pieces.
Evil Pack doesn't want to destroy the country. It wants to milk the country for everything it's worth.
I mean, isn't that what's happening now with Elon Musk and Donald Trump? Like, destroying the country? We're laughing about it, but it's sad and tragic.
You're right, but it's absurd. I mean, that's what we've realized is the big challenge is, you know, what you typically would do with satire is like, okay, take the gross, weird story and do this comic exaggeration. And they leave us very little room to work with when it's already so ridiculous and absurd and cartoonish, you know.
That's the problem with the comedy right now. Like every single late night show, you're like, they're just like, oh, let's just show what Trump said. And then maybe we'll have a joke that's basically saying the exact right thing of his head. It's kind of sad, though, because you actually have this now. You have an evil pack with Elon Musk, who has spent all his America pack. It's basically fucking evil pack. He's going out the same goals almost. And then he's gone out there and tried to buy votes, giving people millions of dollars. And now he's in a fight with Trump. It's kind of sad.
It is.
And then, and in terms of like when you say like why evil, that I think it is because like Musk is this silly Bond villain character, and yet audiences love that. And the same with Trump, like this Joker-esque clown, Batman bad guy. And people love that. So I think it felt like, hey, look, we could try to be funny from the point of view of the little guy who hates the elites. But we were like, maybe it's just funnier to do it from the point of view of the elites who are just celebrating how wonderfully awful they are.
You set up a store called Coke and Crow, and in it, there were judges that were available for purchase, and every hour there were auctions for billionaires to buy judges. Talk us through the store.
So here's what I just realized is everybody here had some contribution to that event going together. So when I first started working with Todd and he gave me an example of the kinds of comedy he wanted to do, he had already done this mock-up that Coke and Crow have a storefront and there were Supreme Justices in the window and it said Justices for Sale. And I said, that's awesome. That's hilarious. I'll write the article. So then I wrote, you know, a satire article about how Harlan Crow and Charles Koch decided it's too annoying to purchase judges online or in back alley deals. You need a comfortable, well-lit boutique retail atmosphere to be able to reason
on these computers as well.
Right. Yeah. And how do you do returns and stuff like that? So then I turned that into an article. And that was kind of one of our lead pieces of content for the site. We started working with you guys, and I don't know which one of you it was, or both of you said, hey, you should kick off the site.
Who's DeBrom?
Cool.
Okay, so three of us really contributed to what happened last night.
What were you doing this whole time, man? You were just driving there?
I was just hanging, yeah.
I wasn't driving.
It's cool. You just keep riding that coattail.
Thinking about life.
But it was cool because we got to be there the day before and see the setup. It was an impressive feat. What was the planning process like? There were images, there was merch, there was a catwalk, there were curtains, there was...
Yeah, I mean, it started with that idea of like, okay, well, we can take the concept of this article and bring it to life. We can get a boutique and we can set it up so that judges are on display, people are auctioning them off, you have billionaires there shopping. But then I think that we kind of got to that and then we were like, okay, but you can look in the door and see that. Is that particularly like exciting? Okay, I get the joke. And then we tried to think about, okay, well, what else can we do that highlights the kind of stuff that's on the site? So we started building out murals about Supreme Court being for sale and fake vacation packages. And yeah, that kind of built on top of it. And then based on our relationship with you guys, we were like, let's have the good liars come because they'll just add that other carnival-like layer of doing bits and shooting content. And
we're carnies. We're no...
You really...
yeah.
Small.
Carnies meets, you know, pro wrestlers. But that became the third element of it is to have you guys there making funny stuff.
So
you can buy a judge in the store. Now, what are the examples in real life, IRL, of this happening? The Supreme Court justices have been bought. What are the examples of that? And what was the actual result of this lobbying or whatever happened? Explain that to the listeners.
So, like, the Coke and Crush store was a launch event, and it was performance art, but it was also an educational protest. And so, like, the various murals that Bruce created for us up there all were designed to kind of parody a luxury store that a billionaire would walk in to buy clothing, but we had real facts on them. So, it's like, Samuel Alito has been to Italy 7 times, basically 7 vacations to Italy to go speak. And, like, sure, he gave a speech for an hour, but he and his family get to go, all expenses paid, to Rome and hang out. And it's like 7 times.
Yeah. And who paid for that? Like, what was their interest in it? Like, what's the corruption in that, I guess?
It's buying influence. It's buying influence. Right. It's buying access. And, you know, it's not just there. It gets more egregious to, like, you know, Clarence Thomas went to Indonesia, took a private jet to Indonesia, private yacht around Indonesia, and he's hanging out with Harlan Crow for days, and they get to talk and buddy up, and Harlan gets to nudge him on the issues he finds of importance. It's an access that the billionaire class has and can pay for that the rest of us can't.
And what have they been the results of this? Like, what would be a Supreme Court case that you think maybe was influenced by it? Obviously, this is going to be speculation from us, but what were some examples of that, like, actually buying and a change for all of Americans?
Singer, I think his name is Paul Singer, was on the trip with Alito on the Alaskan fishing vacation thing, where, you know, they get wiggle around what little rules there are with, like, well, you're flying on his jet to this place and you're staying on his resort property.
Right.
But ultimately, Singer was on this. It was arranged by Leonard Leo. And eventually, Alito ruled on the case that it was this dispute in Argentina that went up to our Supreme Court. And it was Singer won. It was a $2 billion ruling. And so how much was he influenced? Well, we'll never know. But the answer is Alito should have recused himself. He's buddies with these guys. He shouldn't be ruling on their cases.
Right. And it feels like even Citizens United is an example of like, oh, no, we're going to rule to make sure that elites can contribute as much money into the political system as possible without
that was the big
vulnerability.
One.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
unlimited cash going in.
It sounded like, you know, based on the images and everything, you guys went across the aisle to, you had Sotomayor and book sales.
These folks at Sotomayor.
Not refusing yourself. What was that exactly?
She'd gotten busted for, you know, she's written a couple children's books. She's written memoirs. And
children's books,
Baby
Judge,
Baby Justice,
is that what it's called?
Not what it's called. Don't me, I might remember.
I'm just a baby.
You know, but she had her staff, a taxpayer fund staff, calling up and strong arming universities and bookstores who were going to have Sotomayor speak, that they had to buy a certain number of books. It was a little kind of mafioso style. Hey, you know, maybe something happens where she doesn't show up unless you guys have bought, you know, a certain number of books.
Crazy.
You know, we're just across the board, we're of the opinion that there should be an enforceable code of ethics, or that they shouldn't be monetizing or self-aggrandizing off of their positions. And, you know, we had basically 5 where we had really good receipts on 5 out of the 9. And then in terms of the stuff that Todd was talking about, travel, accepting a lot of bullshit vacations, everybody but Brown, right? Everybody but...
Yeah, everybody but Jack, yeah.
Has a long list of, like, oh, great, I'd like to go to Indonesia.
No, and we know that those things are not free. It's just obvious.
Right.
Someone is treating you this way over and over and over again, that when their opportunity comes to help that person out, they're going to expect it. And then and with the Supreme Court, there's no higher court in the land to police them. So I guess they're self-policing. They're not doing a good job.
Yeah. I mean, a whole bunch of them have been paid to go to Iceland to teach classes. And it's like, why does they have a different legal system? Why do they care about the American legal system? Right. And why teach there? Why not teach in America or something? It's just an I believe firmly it's just an excuse to give them something that they want, a vacation, go hang out over there. And
yeah, it's in the hot springs, drink $18 beer, or whatever Iceland has to offer.
And the Blue Lagoon.
It normalizes that kind of self-interest and so that it trickles down, you know, the fish rots from the head down. And you know, you guys saw what we were doing with the auction is that we had these judge models, but we were assigning them real identities of judges at various levels where we could talk about judges who were ruling on cases where they had stock, they held, you know, stock and were ruling out of self-interest, enriching themselves. And I think it sets the tone for like, oh no, look, I'm in this position, so I'm going to make something out of it. We picked six examples when we had our researcher come up with some examples of real judges. Like within 24 hours, he had like 60 examples, and we had to like dig through it just to find, for six.
So I guess the obvious next question is, when's EvilPak going to get in the game of just buying these judges, paying them off? You know, like you guys just pay for a couple trips. You could get them to rule in favor of
not accepting further trips.
Right. Yeah.
I
like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you just have to get them to the nicest places. Maybe it's North Carolina. Take them all to North Carolina. I don't know. But I say that because you live in North Carolina. But you take them on nice trips and then be like, hey, guys, maybe we should have some epics here. Let's have some epics. Yeah. Stop with the trips.
Yeah.
Actually, I think this is a good idea. And I think you should do it.
I agree. We take them, like, they can teach law in Gary, Indiana for a few days. I have a lovely vacation there.
There's a great Holiday Inn Express there. We ever
like
put them up.
Taking them on, like, really reasonable trips, like, normal stuff. See, like, was this not pleasant?
Wasn't it pleasant?
It wasn't pretty nice. And there was some construction going on, and the pool was closed. It wasn't a pretty good
The breakfast buffet. I saw you at the breakfast buffet.
I saw you at a waffle maker.
Right, you went back for a second. So now I want you to rule in my favor.
Yeah, I mean, I think
reasonable trips. That's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah,
right. Offering them,
like regional road trips,
right?
You know, stuff that's achievable.
Florence weekend in Newark.
Yes, Newark. Go to a state park, have some fun.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Nailed it.
But this was obviously focused on the judges here. What are some other? I don't want to say targets because people would be like, you said targets.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some other areas of penetration?
EvilPak is looking to make.
You know, so there's, you know, we just put up an article and you realize also that the ridiculousness happens so fast that, like, if we don't get stuff up, it kind of starts to become obsolete. We had just recently written a mock article about Elon Musk and Doge spending $200 million on an ad campaign to celebrate that they had cut $100 million worth of waste.
Right.
And so that's, you know, it's just, it's stories like that. And
that's based on a true thing. Like Christy Noem, the defense and Homeland Security paid $200 million in advertising to promote what they were doing. And like, hey, look how great of a job we're doing on immigration. And meanwhile, they're like, hey, look, we saved $10 million by getting rid of, like, food stamp benefits in Milwaukee.
It's like Trump is so, you know, was touting Doge and saving money and is also throwing himself this, like, military parade.
Exactly.
Birthday party to celebrate. Like, the way I see it, he's in the hole big time. So
I get that.
You want
to deserve a birthday party.
It's a big one for him. What is it? 17 million, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a nice round number. Yeah.
It's higher than Biden now. It's like a spring chicken.
Folks, listen.
Yeah.
I did that.
That was Biden's move in the debate.
We talk about this a lot, like just the future of the party, Democratic Party, and the kind of at a crossroads. Do you agree with us in thinking that the candidate for 2028 is Joe Biden?
Obviously.
The shambling corpse of Joe Biden.
Well, it's just, what would 4 years of rest do for a guy like that? He's got the name recognition. Yeah. I saw some funny tweet today that was like, if only Joe Biden were alive to see the feud that's unraveling right now. But yeah, we're pretty much in agreement on that. I think with a little bit of rest, he's going to start remembering people's names and walking to the right place.
And it helps. It helps us, I suppose, in a way that the Democratic Party is a mess too, and it allows us to make comedy. You know, we don't want to come off as hyperpartisan. I mean, obviously, we have opinions about sort of who's who's more or less egregious, but I do think that coming off hyperpartisan becomes this barrier to reaching an audience, and so we really are trying to say, well, the joke is it's the elite who are fucking over the rest of us, and you know, so yeah, I don't enjoy that the Democratic Party is a mess, but at least it gives us then the ability to you know, shoot some jokes their way too.
We had a sad little talk about that. We were talking about this recently with somebody, and it was like, man, why don't you guys talk to Trump supporters about how, like, you know, the billionaire class is really the ones pulling the strings, and they're getting these tax breaks, and it's not getting down trickling down to anybody. And we tried to do that at one rally, and everyone was like, I like billionaires. They're the ones that give us jobs, and that's the money trickles down to us.
Right.
And there was just like, it's like, how do you break through? How do you break? Obviously, there's the real Trump.
You're right. It's just been trickling down. It's going to be another 40, 50
years. 40 or 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Oh, and that's when Evil Pack is going to really hit its stride. Yeah. Yeah. You already find an audience.
So this is a nonpartisan way of looking at things. You guys want this to be something you could send to your uncle that you get in arguments with at Thanksgiving, and they'll laugh at that as well as liberals and other people.
I can't speak for the other folks on the team, but to me, this is the word Zach uses is postpartisan. Good comedy fires in both directions, and there's no sacred cows on either side. Personally, I don't really like either party. I think at the moment the Republicans are more of the bad guys, and mostly because they have a lot more power at the moment. But it's not like the Democrats are always the good guys. They do crazy, silly things too. I mean, part of the reason they lose elections is because they do colossally stupid things, and we're going to ruthlessly make fun of them for those things as well. Why not? And it's both good for the comedy, but it's also strategic in that, like, we want to reach across barriers, and we want, in this ridiculously polarized political climate where people like go listen to Fox or they listen to CNN and they don't like to cross over, comedy is a way we can break through and deliver messages to people on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. And yeah, so that then gives us, we look for opportunities, like we were riffing on an article the other day about, like, you know, yeah, both parties reach across the aisle to pass a law that says Congress can engage in insider trading. And they're like, yeah, because that is something that gets done on both sides. So
that's nice. That's a nice thing if everyone can finally agree on.
We can all hope.
Yeah, we can all.
A few things bring people together.
And Paul, like, a lot of people probably recognize you from your work with Broken Lizard at Super Troopers, Club Dread, Beer Fest. How is that work that you've done with Broken Lizard, how is that influencing what you're doing now with the Evil Pack, or what you've learned during that time?
Yeah, I mean, when Todd brought this opportunity to me, I felt like, okay, look, I've had a pretty long now career in comedy. I think I have a pretty good handle on writing jokes. But what, you know, 10 years ago, I started working at an ad agency, working in marketing and learning about corporate communication and reputational content. And what actually was really cool is it sounded like an opportunity to blend these two things. You know, my biggest client when I worked in advertising was Walmart, and most of what I did was reputational management content. And when Todd described Mark Robinson and what we wanted to do in a funny way, was like, oh, this is reputation management, but it's reputation destruction. I'll take everything I learned sort of in marketing about how you promote a brand and use all those things and how you destroy a brand. So, you know, the comedy just felt like, okay, I think I'm funny enough and I'm good enough at writing to be able to contribute. It's actually the marketing stuff that I learned that actually has been the fun thing to apply.
So you said you were the guy telling him to go on those porn sites and say all the Nazi stuff?
Yeah, he fell for it. Yeah.
I'm going to make you governor. You just have to listen to me. Do this.
Yes, I think we can legitimately claim to some responsibility for the decline of Mark Robinson, yet CNN really, you know, you can't compete with Black Nazi. Whereas Michelle Morrow, and you guys were the key to that, was a case where you had somebody who was neck and neck. and it was going to come down to the wire. And Todd identified this dangerous, you know, supervisor of public schools candidate who was a homeschooling extremist who had advocated for public executions of Obama and Biden and Fauci.
And she'd done some bad stuff, too.
And then there's the bad stuff that she did. And said, hey, let's do that same thing. Let's find a funny way to shine a really bright spotlight on this person. And that's where you guys came in. And that's to us the example of how it's supposed to work is we did something really funny. We got it out. It got shared. It blew up. And she lost. And I think we did that. I'm just going to say, I think we did that.
We did it. We did it.
We did it.
Yes, we did that. We take credit for
think so the fact that she couldn't find the way into her own events.
No, it's not
the interaction. I think showed her the ineptitude and the disorganization. But it was incredible to have somebody running for, I think, the superintendent of public education who homeschooled her own kids and didn't participate in the system. And her reason for doing that was saying, oh, the system's so broken. But she didn't. She doesn't have experience with it. She doesn't know.
No, she's just absolutely unqualified.
No, but yes, that's how it works now. Is you pull this outsider card, and that's what allows the death of expertise. Is
right.
You turn this liability into an asset. I know nothing about how any of this shit works. Right. I'm the perfect candidate.
Because
I'm the outsider who's going to shake things up and drain the swamp. And she just, I think, was a perfect example of what's going wrong. And I, like that, we cut her off at the pass, and I'm very grateful.
I mean, she lost by half a percentage point, and your video had like 10 million views in a day, and I couldn't even tell you how many like politicians in North Carolina heard it. Like, that was what this is all about. It's good activism. It's comedy for good.
And she could have not opened herself up to that had she not called for the televised execution of Obama. So that was a mistake on her part, probably.
No, and maybe she could have gotten away with the televised one, but she wanted to do it for profit, like a Running Man type thing. Like,
I see, that's where I agree with her. Like, I have a certain
sling fire in there.
But look, I do not agree on hurting anybody, killing anyone, especially. But if you're going
to be a
do it, if you're going to do it,
a big butt,
you got to cash in. That's what I mean. Professional wrestling, boxing. These big events, live television is key. Everyone's streaming. You got to have live events. You need to have events. What bigger event than the televised site?
Must see TV.
Yeah.
Must see something.
So do you have any televised executions?
Well, what we have is we talk about these characters, these eight tentacle operatives. Our education operative is a guy named Javi Himmler, an Argentinian by way of Europe, we suspect.
Oh, okay.
But who made his fortune in the prison system in South America doing televised blood sports.
Cool.
That's how he fixed the Argentinian prison system. And now he's come to America to apply those same principles to the American American public education system. So we suspect that what Javi's going to start advocating for are blood sport for elementary school children. Pay-per-view.
Maybe the strongest survivor. I mean, how strong would American children be if they competed at a young age?
We were talking the other night about how he's going to intentionally elongate all the graduation ceremonies. So instead of them being like 3 or 4 hours, if they're 6 or 7 hours, you can get multiple intermissions and sell a shitload of concessions.
Right.
In the popcorn is that's how you fund these things.
I want to say, guys, I was saying to do the pay-per-views for it, and I feel kind of foolish about that. About the televised executions on pay-per-view. I think it should be like a monthly payment.
So could it be another
premium subscription?
Yeah. Subscription. People are going to forget that they signed up for it. Then they're going to get these executions. And if things keep going the way they're going, you might be having these soon, which is kind of exciting. You might see us on TV for those executions.
Oh, ringside, a couple of ringside. You guys would be great ringside commentators for school children blood sport.
You know, you would commentate, but it will quickly end when your gallows go down or whatever. So the future of Evil Pack, what are the next steps? You have the website, evilpack.org. Have you given thought to any more events like the store that just opened in Soho, the Judges for Sale store? Any other things you're kicking around that you want to talk about? Or you can just be super vague and say, you've got some really big stuff planned, but we're keeping it a secret. If you want me to do PR for you right now.
I think the next thing we've talked about doing should be kept a secret, because it, I think it is going to be more of a public spectacle. We expect you guys to be involved, so circle your calendars for some point. But I think
the whole fucking bridge.
But I think coordinating and executing a big thing like what we did is a lot, and so I think in the immediate future, it's about populating the Evil Pack website and socials with as much good content as we can get.
Raising dark money. To influence, penetrate, all those things. The next time you pop up, it's going to be in probably a pretty big and pretty evil way, sounds like.
Quite literally, donating to Evil Pack is giving dark money for good.
Right.
Oh.
Like, it is a dark money donation.
It is a pack. You would accept donations, right? The same way that packs would be. It wouldn't be traceable, and you could donate it however you wanted to.
Evil Pack, I believe, is the only currently existing comedy super pack, because it's actually owned by, like, it's owned and operated by Americans for Prosperity, which is a real super pack.
Right.
So it's a real super pack for good, advocating a fictional super pack for evil.
I have a question for you all. Do you guys consider doing, like, trying to do what PACs do and trapping some politicians in this? Like, having, like, a fundraiser that people are going to, where you're trying to get people to sign off on the shadiest shit possible, like dumping in a river or something like that. And you're trying to do the evil thing.
And when they walk in the ballroom in their tuxedo, it's you guys waiting for this. What do you do?
Have a seat. Chris Hanso, hey, how are you? Anyway, that's another idea. That was a free one for you guys. There would be multiple lawsuits, but you guys can handle it. I'm sure.
It's a taste of things to come. But yeah, I think part of the logic behind Evil Pack was it allows us to do what we're enjoying in these sort of off election cycles. And then the idea is, get back into some of the stuff we did in North Carolina, and whether it's next year, moving forward, that we have this kind of now evergreen comedy outlet, but that Americans for Prosperity will continue to do stunts, do mock campaigns when election cycles come around again.
And it'll be like, it's like an onion. It's like a real super PAC funding. It's layered like an onion.
It is
real,
layered like
the real super, a real super PAC funding another PAC, a fake PAC that's a comedy PAC that no one can find out where the money is coming from and what's going to happen next and who they're influencing at the end of the day.
Getting to have our cake and eat it too, right?
Yeah, it's like ultimately right now we're working on making this, we're going to make this a sustainable model where we're putting out regular content each week in terms of articles and videos. And we've got some amazing new videos with the various characters from the Tentacles that are going to be rolling any day now. And then, the hope is, for your listeners out there, like, this is a way you can get engaged politically and get involved with this entertainment platform, which ultimately will go to building an audience and helping to fund real life comedy advertising, mocking anti-democratic monsters and corrupt fucks. And like, you can help take that. If you support this and follow this and share it, you are actually participating in democracy to help take down assholes.
And if people hate Evil Pack, would you consider opening an anti-Evil Pack that they can donate to that would try and take down Evil Pack?
Good.
Again, so thinking about good pack.
Right.
Maybe even great pack.
Great pack.
Yeah.
Well, yes or no, guys?
Yes.
Tough question.
It's a question,
Goodness.
For anyone who hates Evil Pack, is there a place to get involved? Think about it.
Yeah. See, this is how we're getting that whole pro wrestling like characters, the reveals. And
well, Todd, Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for joining the Americans for Prosperity team.
Before we get out of here, DeVrom, question for you. Any words of wisdom?
Absolutely. these are things that are so. I have one that I've been thinking about. Something to remember when it's summer, when there's no AC, put on your friend's pants and just sweat it out. And your friend's going to appreciate it. You're going to have a great time. You're going to realize your friend's a little thinner than you are. It's just going to bring you a lot closer. So when it's hot in New York City, find a friend, wear their pants.
You're not sweating, Rob. You're glowing.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. All right, that does it for the Good Liars Tell the Truth. We'll see you next time.